We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Welcome to a thrilling Thursday right here in Brevard County. I pray that you are having a good day. Maybe this would be a good thirsty Thursday, and hungering and thirsting for righteousness, for they shall be filled. So I pray today that you have a strong desire for the Word of God and to know Him. So we're going to get back into Acts chapter 10 today. We're going to start in the middle of verse number 23. When we get there, I want to take just a moment to tell you about Jits Concrete, 536-5804. I guarantee you this time of year, you don't want to be out there trying to learn how to pour concrete or do block work or do stucco. If you were going to do it in the winter time when it's cooler, but these people, they know what they're doing. They will get you fixed up. They are professionals. And if they can be a blessing to you, call them at 536-5804, 536-5804. Ask for Greg, and you can tell him. Now, because they are out there working, you might get to voicemail, and they may have to call you back. But 536-5804, tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio broadcast. They've done work for us in the past, and we recommend them highly. Just for a couple of more days here, we want to also remind you of the Shiloh Adventure Summer Camp. It's an overnight camp. It is going to be in Volusia County this year, and so you can check them out online at shilohadventure.com. If you are like me and you like to deal with people on the phone or in person more than online, you can call them at 321-452-3943. Ask for Laura, and she can give you all the information. It's camp for boys and for girls, and the ages of the camp are ages 8 through 15. In fact, their card here says, Creating Enthusiasm for Christ and for Life. And so check that out. Keep your kids growing in the faith and keep them from being bored this summer. So verse number 23 of Acts chapter 10. Do want to also remind you, if you need healing in your body, you know a loved one that need healing, we're going to be coming soon. Sunday morning, we're going to be celebrating our 63rd anniversary, and we're going to be praying for the sick as part of that service. And so we believe that Jesus is not only Savior, but He is healer. It is one of our four principal doctrines, that Jesus is healer. Now, Acts chapter 10, verse number 23, Then He invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, Stand up, I myself am also a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked then, For what reason have you sent me? Okay, I just love this passage of Scripture. And so the next day, Peter and the brethren that had come, they started their journey back to Cornelius's house. And Peter does something very, very wise. It says he takes some of the brethren, some of the fellow disciples, fellow believers from Joppa, and they accompany him. Okay? I do not believe in lone wolf ministries. I don't. Jesus sent people out two by two. And I believe that we would do ourselves a great favor if we did not do ministry alone, that we instead acted in an accountable way, in a responsible way, that guys go out with guys and girls go out with girls to do ministry, and we conduct ministry in a manner that is above reproach. Okay? And so I encourage you that if you are out there and you are spending way too much time alone, I encourage you, God, I believe, does ministry in partnerships, in teams. I'm the pastor, but I'll be honest with you. There's a lot of things that I go, that I do in ministry that I do better when there are other people helping me. And I just want to encourage you to come and do it the way that God. See, I find it way too easy for my heart to deceive me if I'm there all by myself. My wife and I mean, we have been married now for over 30 years, and there are times when I'm doing well spiritually and she's not doing so well, and there's been times that she's been doing well spiritually and I wasn't doing so well. By the way, if you think that your pastor is just walking around on cloud nine all of the time, you might be shocked. You would be shocked to realize that there are thousands of ministers every year that leave the ministry burned out, discouraged, and I'm so thankful that God has blessed me with a wife. And in fact, the thing that attracted me to her was her passion for God. That was it. A passion for God. My daughter has a passion for God. All my kids have a passion for God in their own way, and that is the most desirable attribute. There are so many people, they go, you know, girls go chasing after guys with muscles, only to find out later that guy's going to use those muscles to be an abuser instead of a blessing. There are some people who are blessed with incredible physical appearance, ladies that are blessed with incredible physical appearance, and guys go chasing after them, and many times those people end up not being able to have the character to sustain those or the lifestyle that you would genuinely want. And whenever you build something on a foundation that is temporary, the structure is eventually going to collapse. Build your relationships on people who are passionately in love with Jesus. And so I'm thankful. We have spent the past 2 years going through a leadership cohort, trying to improve the way we do ministry. We want to be the best, most effective that we can be. I'm never going to be T.D. Jakes. It's just not happening. I'm never going to be anybody else. I'll be honest with you. I gave up trying to become other people about 21 years ago. I've got my favorite preachers, ones that I like to watch and all that, but I don't try and become them. God has made me my own individual, giving me my own gift set. And so I best fit when I'm being me. That's who I am, and so I that's who I want to be. But with that being said, God gives us an understanding of grace better when we see other people as well, and so we journey together. And that's why I'm constantly encouraging you on this program. If you do not have a local church home, find one. Find one. It will help keep you from error. It will help you overcome discouragement. It will help keep you from getting depressed. Remember, Elijah was depressed. He thought he was the only one left even after the victory on Mount Carmel. And God had to let him know, look, I've got thousands of others that you don't know anything at all about. And so those are the things that can happen doing ministry together. And as we talked about, I believe it was on yesterday's program, in Acts chapter 11, Peter's going to get called on the carpet by some people who didn't like what he did. And so he's going to need those witnesses in the future. You don't know by whom you partner with today what benefit it is going to have for you in the future. So I encourage you, make sure you do not do ministry alone. Make sure that you have somebody there that is able to hold you accountable and will help protect you from making any errors. So verse number 24, and the following day they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. And I just want to tell you that that is an incredible, incredible testimony. It says that when they got there the next day, by this time it had been, I believe, 4 days, because in verse 30, Cornelius says, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, that when they get to Caesarea, where they get to Cornelius's house, that Cornelius had not just been sitting there doing nothing while his men were gone to retrieve Peter, but he was bringing people to his house. He's like, guys, this is what happened. You know, if you don't have a good reputation and you start telling people what's going on, then they may not be moved. But if you've got a rock solid reputation, if you are known as a man of prayer, if you are known as a just man and a person who holds a reverence for God, if that's what you are known for, if you've got a good reputation amongst the community, and you say, God had me send for this man. He told me that he was going, listen, I'm asking you to come to my house because there's a man I've never met who's coming to my house going to tell me what God wants to tell me. That's what Cornelius did. Too many people think that the concept of waiting upon the Lord is just a sitting there and a twiddling of the thumbs. It's just mindlessly waiting. I tell a story. It's an old illustration, but it was a story that stuck with me. I couldn't even tell you where the first time I ever heard it was. But it was in the days of telegraph operators. And there was a job that was advertised for a telegraph operator in this community. And so this young man decided that he was going to go down and apply. And so he goes down, and when he gets there, he is greeted by a room filled with people who also were applying for the job of telegraph operators. And they said, well, here's where the line forms, and there's a chair over there, and you can have a seat, and, you know, whenever, you know, they call us in, you'll get called in order. And so the guy went over, and he sat down in the chair, and he sat there for a few minutes. And then all of a sudden, he got up and walked through a door, and he was gone for several minutes. And he came back out and said, guys, y'all can go home. I got the job. And they were just incensed. They said, we got here before you. How did you manage to get the job when we were here and in line? We didn't even get called. We didn't even get the interview. How did you get the job? And he said, Well, it's quite simple. While I was sitting over there, I wasn't just waiting. I was listening. And what I heard was a message coming in across the telegraph. And so I went back into the telegraph operator's room. And sure enough, there was a message coming across, and it was in Morse code. And it said, whoever hears this message and responds to this telegraph with a telegraph, you are the one who got the job. You see, the others were just sitting there waiting for something to happen. The person who got the job was the person who was waiting because he had a job to do. He was wanting a job to do. And so he was listening. He was aware of his environment. And so when it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings like eagles, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. I don't believe that it is just us sitting around in our church pew, if you will, and twiddling our thumbs or clapping our hands and hearing the message and singing the songs. I believe in all of those things. But I believe also that we should be in an active waiting mode, not a passive waiting mode, that we are waiting for the return of the Lord. And the way that we are doing that is we are occupying our post and we are making the most out of every opportunity, that we are doing everything that we can because we are waiting on the King. We are attending to the needs of the King. And the King still has empty seats at the banquet table. And he needs us to be waiting upon him so that those seats will be filled. So I just want to encourage you. Cornelius is a tremendous role model here. Not only did he let me read the characteristics to him. In verse number 2, he's a devout man, one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. In verse number 22, he's a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews. But I will tell you that there is also a characteristic that is found about Cornelius, and that is he is a person of influence. When he told those people to come to his house, they had his house filled. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. You know, I don't like to just rush through these things. I see things in the Word of God that I think are very, very important. There are a lot of people, and their missionary heart is focused primarily on getting their family saved. And praise God, I believe that our entire household should be saved. I believe it. I stand on that promise. I don't just believe it for my son, my daughters, my daughter-in-law. All of them are serving God. Praise God. My future son-in-laws, I claim that. I also claim it for my, you know, mom and dad. They're both born-again believers. My sister and her family, all born-again believers. My brother and his wife, born-again believers. But I've got some other relatives, nieces, nephews, cousins, aunts, uncles, that need Jesus. And so I don't just want to gather. I just don't want my family to benefit spiritually. I want my friends to benefit spiritually. I want my neighbors to benefit spiritually. And so you and I, we need to be looking for opportunities to position people where they can hear the gospel. These people's worlds were getting ready to change. God was getting ready to do a dynamic ministry in Cornelius' home. Do you see that? This was not taking place in a synagogue. It wasn't taking place in the upper room. This was going to be taking place in Cornelius' home. God was getting ready to do an extraordinary thing in a Gentile's house. That's really exciting to me. I wonder if it had taken place if Cornelius had just left it all to himself, if he had said, well, as long as I'm saved. You know, that Hezekiah's this great king in the Old Testament, but, you know, there came a time when God said, you know, there's going to be a time of judgment coming, but it's not going to be in your lifetime. And Hezekiah said, at least it's not going to touch me. And that's where a lot of people's concern for salvation ends, is if I'm saved, I'm good with that. And God wants us to have a heart for others the same way that he does. He wants everyone walking in the fullness of a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so, now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him, but Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up, I myself am also a man. And so let's just look at that for just a moment. Ministry, especially when things are going well, it can have some secret traps that the enemy likes to set up. You see, as long as you're not upsetting his kingdom, he's really not going to be too concerned about you. You have very little influence if all you're concerned about is the fact that you're saved and you're going to heaven. But when you start getting into your prayer closet and God starts communicating with you and you start moving out of your comfort zone and God begins to do some extraordinary things, then all of a sudden there can be some traps that the enemy sets up, because he wants to prevent you and I from doing those great exploits that I've talked about in the past. And one of the traps is for us to become enamored with ourselves. Cornelius was a man, listen, he was a man who recognized authority, and so he fell down and worshiped him. And Peter said, you don't need to do that. You need to stand up. And in fact, Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up, I myself am a man. And how do I want to say this? There is something that takes place, and it's got a couple of different ways that it works, but we have this tendency to create celebrity ministry when God is concerned about ministry, not celebrity. Moses wasn't a celebrity when he met God at the burning bush. He was just a man who was curious. Huh? That bush is burning and it's not being consumed. That's kind of intriguing. I think I'll go over and check it out. Moses actually had no interest in going back to Egypt and bringing those people out. He tried to run from that, but God eventually convinced him to go. By the way, it was that celebrity status that brought Moses down. Moses allowed himself to become a celebrity, and God had told him to speak to the rock. This was the second time. The first time was to strike the rock, and he struck it three times. The second time, he was commanded to speak to the rock, and Moses said to the people, must we always do this for you? Must we always do these miracles for you? And he took the rock, or he took his rod, and he beat the rock. He did it the same way that he'd done before, but this time, and it was Moses, and God said to him, you're not going to be able to go into the promised land because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the people. Moses went to his grave thinking that it was the people's fault that he didn't go into the promised land, when reality was it was Moses who got kind of full of himself and thought he was the one that was doing the great exploits. I want you to understand something. When people get saved, it is the ministry of the blood of Jesus Christ and the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. When people get healed, it is because of the miraculous workings of God. I have a friend doing a great work for God, touching a nation, very passionate about what he does. And I was talking to him, and he, you know, very humble man. And he said, "Brother," he said, "when it comes to my ministry, I look at it this way. If God could use Balaam's donkey, he can speak through me." Doing a great work, touching an entire nation, but he refuses to fall into the celebrity trap. Now, there are times when we can set ourselves up as celebrity, and then there are times when other people will view us as celebrities. I recently saw an article about two conferences that were put on. One of them was attended by a couple of hundred people, and one of them was a packed house. The one with a couple of hundred people had people speaking who were very effective in their field, but they did not have celebrity status. The second conference, the one that was packed out, had celebrity status. This one person attended both conferences, and he said, "If you ask me which conference was the most important, I will tell you it's the one that didn't have the celebrity speakers. That was the one." They said, "Well, why don't conferences have happen that have no-name preachers?" And he said, "Because the church won't come if we don't have the celebrity." Folks, it is time that we restore the honor and the reverence and the awe where it rightly belongs, and that's at the throne of Christ, the throne of Jesus. He's the one that is worthy of all praise, glory, and honor. Everybody that serves in a church is part of the body of Christ, and some of them have a lot of notoriety and all that sort of stuff, but folks, it is not about us. It is about the God working through us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today. I thank you for Cornelius and the heart of preparedness that he had. And Lord, I want to thank you for the sensitivity of Peter, who refused to get sucked into the trap of celebrity. And God, he wouldn't allow himself to be worshiped. You and you alone are worthy to be worshiped. May you find us humbly waiting upon you, actively waiting for you. In Jesus' name, we'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."